baby. They all screamed, and I told my wife, come on, we got to go home. What do you mean by, I just said, don't get used to this baby. Those are the words that I told them. Within a week, the baby died of crib death. How did I know that? God showed it to me in my study. Showed me that. He just shows his servants certain things. So when Dave is saying this, and you know what? I see something far different for Los Angeles. I don't see fires everywhere. I just see stillness, death. Like it's going to hit us like a plague. Like it's going to be something falling out of the sky, burning our skins. That's what I see for LA. I just something completely different. I haven't made any. This is the first time I'm mentioning it because it's just. No, there's too much of these chemicals being spread across our sky. But that's neither here nor there. Dave said that he started to weep, cry out unto the Lord, oh God, how can I prepare these devoted people for such devastation? They all can't just pick up everything and flee the city. Most have no car, no transportation, and little income. They struggle just to pay rent and buy subway tokens, much less to buy hideaways in Vermont or Montana. I'm glad he said that. They have no families outside of the city, no hiding place, very little space to lay up supplies for emergencies. Hey, man, that's living in New York City. Poor folks living in New York, he's right. Most live in cramped apartments. They're already overcrowded to the bare essentials. I know that. I've been to New York City. And for some weird reason, I love that city. Man, I wouldn't mind living like that. Just a beautiful place to live. Then Dave said, please, Father, give us a word, a plan for survival. What can I do as a pastor? You told me to warn them about what's coming. So why can't you give me your plan for preserving us? What do you want me to tell your people? This is what Dave is saying. Then Dave wrote and said that the Lord heard his cry, and he gave him a comforting word. He whispered to my heart, David, you are seeing this whole matter from your point of view. Let me show you mine. All right, now I'm thirsty for more information here. Here is what I believe is God's plan for his people's survival in any and all storms. And then he has written down in dark writing here, he says, the only trustworthy preparations are those for the heart, not the body. If you love the Lord, this is where all preparation must begin. Now, you know, he is absolutely correct. And being that he is absolutely correct, let me take it a step further. The subject of preparation is primarily a spiritual matter, and only secondarily one of bodily or material concern. If your heart is right with the Lord, listen to what he's saying, because I believe in this 100%. If your heart is right with the Lord, all your preparations to protect your body will be in vain. If your heart is not right with the Lord. Listen to what he's saying. If your heart is not right with the Lord, all of your preparations to protect your body, to have your stuff so you can have some food, is all in vain. He said, those who right now are setting their hearts to seek God with all their being, saturating their hearts and their minds with his word, cleaving to Christ more and more and more every day, my addition, are better prepared for the coming storm than anyone. They're safer and more protected than any, even those Christians who have stored away a year or two supply of food in some country haven. yet who have not focused on their spiritual well-being. This makes all the sense in the world. Here you thinking about storing some food up so you can have some grub, and you're going to die if you get food poisoning and go to hell. Dave goes on and says, now let me prove all of this to you from Scripture. That's another thing that I love about this book, because he makes statements like I would make, and then he comes right behind those statements and he presents the Scripture. He says, when God told the children of Israel to prepare to leave Egypt at any moment, he didn't give them instructions on how to stockpile food and water and supplies for their journey. Though I see nothing wrong with doing these things, instead, Wilkerson says he told Moses, just stand by. Talk about facing hard times. These people were headed into the wilderness, a barren, waterless desert with no visible resources whatsoever. They face zero employment with no storage room for supplies and no source of water. At least in Egypt, they had all the food that they needed. By now, the only thing that they had was a promise from God to support and to preserve them as they made their way through the desert. But the only instructions that God gave Israel for preparation were spiritual in nature. All preparations of the heart. In brief, the Lord told them three things. And let's look at these three things that he told them. The first thing, he said, get secured by the blood. Are you following him thus far? In other words, hard times are coming, but get secured by the blood. Each family was to kill a lamb, sprinkle the animal's blood on the doorpost of their home. And they were all told to rest secretly or securely in that blood. As long as the lamb's blood was applied to the doorpost, the family remained safe from the Lord's avenging angel who was about to strike Egypt. So by heeding God's instructions, listen, Christians, listen and stop looking for the punchline. Wait a minute, let me stop right here. Let me stop right now. I need to stop right now because some of you are listening for the punchline in the book. Some of you are trying to order the book because you want to get it so you can get to the punchline. You missed the whole point. Did you hear what Dave said? By heeding to God's instructions, the Israelites were secured not only by spirituality but also physically, because under the Lamb's blood, everyone in the home, adults, children, grandparents, and all that, remain safe. The parallels for us today are clear. We're to prepare for the coming calamity by making sure we're under the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. Now, you got to know that for yourself. Your grandma can't do it for you. Grandpa can't do it for you. Mom and dad can't do it. Your children can't do it. You got to do it for yourself. We are to put our confidence in the keeping, delivering power of the shed blood and to rest securely in that only by faith. Second thing that he told him is to eat the lamb. Eat the lamb. The Israelites were to feast on the lamb that was slain. That's where the blood came from. Now they got to feast on him. Of course, the lamb that they ate was a type of Christ. The slain animal represented the slain body and the shed blood. Likewise, today, as we face coming hard times, we're reminded by the passage to feed on Christ, just as the Israelites feasted on the Lamb of God's instruction. Feasted on the Lamb by God's instructions. That is, let me ask you, Dave asked, what are you feasting on these days? And are you building up your spiritual body by feeding your soul with the promises, with his promises, and by having times of intimacy with him? Are you digesting God's daily word Are you hiding his word in your heart? Are you growing spiritually strong to face the wilderness experience before you? When all human resources fail you? If not, then you'd better start feasting on him right now. You better hear me, Christian. Start feasting on him now. Get used to it while there's still time, because he is the food that you should be storing up, not all this other stuff. Hey, I'm telling you, I may not have enough food for a day. They may come in here and swoop through my pad. I may try to hide me some lunch meat between the mattresses. In my own human depravity, you know, oh man, I got it. You can't have all of it. You can't have all of it. Man, let them have it. Let them have it. Third thing, be ready to go at any time. Okay, are you under the blood? Have you eaten the lamb? And are you ready to go at any time? Israel was to be prepared to leave everything behind at a moment's notice. Hey man, the Lucy Coleman studio, my two closets full of clothes, my 14 pair of shoes, my hats, my leather jackets, my library, my books, my computers. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 computers in this office alone. Leave them. Leave them. Forsake all that is comfortable and secure, so that when the time finally came for them to leave, the only food that they had was unleavened dough, and it was just enough to last them for a few days. The Lord instructed them, "For you are going to have to learn to trust me to cast your welfare as well as your future completely into my hands." The same is very true for us today. Now, some of you may say, "John, but you and Dave Wilkerson is giving a circular argument. You know that it's doom anyhow, so you just setting up the people to die easy." See, there you go thinking like a heathen again because you don't like the result. I'm not even hearing you. And I know that that's what you have to say because that's the way people think. Oh, there's an answer to everything. You're a philosophy professor. I'm just thinking logically here. There is no assistance here. Everybody in the planet's not going to have a lot of food. What if you, okay. Let me give you this scenario. You got 10,000 Christians leaving the big city, walking in the mountainside, and they see your log cabin out there where you'd stored food for 3 years. And you're a Christian and y'all barbecuing. And they coming over the hill in Montana somewhere. And they smell that barbecue and they hear the music. Y'all playing your violins. You know, playing the farmer in the dale. Now you see about 10,000 people coming over the hillside. You say, "What's this?" And then you see the smoke from the city and the ashes in the background behind you. There's a vision that's going to be tripping your mind. And you're going to see all the babies crying, and you're not going to see cars moving because they didn't run out of gas 3 days before they got to your hillside. They're cutting through your barbed wire because, see, you done barbed your wire to protect your property. Got signs up all around it. Do not enter. Do not enter. This is mine. Don't come any further. And now you're going to threaten them because if you come further, you will be shot. What? You will be shot. And you see these 10,000 people coming your way. And you barbecuing. And you get your 30 family members all with shotguns and pistols. And you even got the preacher out there praying for you. "Lord, preserve our home from these heathens." Those are the people from the New York church coming your way, man. And then the pastor hollers out and said, "Brother Jones, it's us, the church." And you holler back and say, "Pastor Smith, don't come any forward. Stop where you are. Brother Jones, I knew that was you because we had barbecue out here 4 years ago out at your place. We just thought that we'd come and camp here and move it." "No, Smith, keep going, man. We ain't got nothing for you here." Then you let off a shot over their heads. What about Christ? Come on, what about Christ? What about your children in the background? They heard all, wasn't you the one teaching the Bible study lesson and all that, right? You was the one talking all this Jesus talk. Talking all this Jesus talk, and now you done let off a valley over their head. Mm-hmm. Be ready to go at any time. Yes. The same is true today. We're not to be tied down with anything of this world. Rather, we have to be prepared to trust our lives to God's care in a way that we've never realized before. We're to have a New Jerusalem state of mind with our eyes fixed on eternity. We have to be prepared to lose everything, Christians, listen to me, and to trust our lives and our families and our futures into the Lord's caring hands completely. Preach, Dave. We see this kind of preparation illustrated in the scriptures in the image of the bride of Christ. God has chosen us, his overcoming church, his bride for his son. His bride is spoken for, set apart, engaged to be wed to Jesus, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. What should be the focus of this bride? Her sole focus ought to be to prepare herself for the wedding, to ready herself to be with her beloved. Yet, I believe, Dave said, God's heart grieves over the poor spiritual condition of his son's bride. I know it because they're going to be standing on the hillside trying to protect their borders, ready to shoot the other members of the church that come and try to get a meatloaf sandwich while they're barbecuing, singing and dancing to the farmer and the Dale. Many who compromise the bride of Christ have eyes for other lovers. They have corrupted themselves, Dave says, by having this world and its things. Now their bridal garments have become spoiled and stained. The Apostle Paul writes and says, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, and that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot, wrinkle, or any such thing, but that it should be holy without blemish. Ephesians 5, 25 through 27, Paul makes it very plain that we are to be holy for our bridegroom without spot or wrinkle or blemish. If you are setting up your parameter to shoot anybody because they're hungry and they smell you barbecuing, you are completely out of your mind. We're supposed to be making preparations to leave this sin-cursed world to be with Jesus, not clinging to more and more things of this world. You are not truly a lover of Jesus if you are not daily preparing to meet him. Oh, I know some of you are saying, oh no, Pastor John, I don't like that. I know it. In the book of Revelation, we read that a holy people coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride. Don't you remember? Oh, no, I know. We forget so easy. But, you know, we can't chalk that up as forgetting anything. We don't want to know about it. We don't want to think about it. Ah, well, I think it's been about an hour of my time. It's a little over an hour. Thank you for coming to the website. We're going to continue tomorrow where we left off as we go through the entire book, trying to prepare you for the coming sorrows in Jesus' name. God bless you. This is Pastor John in Los Angeles, a big city. Ain't storing up nothing but water so we can wash each other's feet, right? Bye-bye. Stay in the Word.